What's the issue? You know, Lonnie Walker's arrival has shifted the dynamics. Since his debut, Schalke has lost 8 of their last 12 games, so maybe the honeymoon is over. Hello, EuroLeague fans. Welcome to another great episode of EuroLeague and Friends, our weekly podcast where we talk about whatever is happening in Turkish Airlines EuroLeague, the best league in the world. Today is the first episode of 2025, and we're very excited because we have a very, very special guest with us. So for those who are tuning in the first time, EuroLeague and Friends is brought to you by 9 Contributors, where we talk about the league, whatever is happening inside and all, also a little bit behind the scenes, you know, very, very fun and exciting. So let's go ahead and introduce my girls. I won't be doing this by myself. I have with me a really special crew. So from Vilnius, Lithuania, the amazing Asta. Asta, how are you, girl?
Hi, Suni. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Asta, joining you from snowy Vilnius. Yeah, the new year has begun, and I want to believe that EuroLeague will bring us lots of excitement and, of course, amazing stories. And we will bring many interesting podcasts to the EuroLeague and to all our fans.
Yes, can't wait. How was your holidays, by the way?
My one?
Yes.
You know, I'm like, I have a newborn baby, so
I know.
My Christmas, my new year was different. It was the first time with my baby girl. It was amazing. Like, it was amazing.
She's the sweetest, really. You're doing a great job. Go, mom. And all the way from Milan, Italy, probably one of my favorite countries in the world, it's mi amica, Giulia. Come stai?
Ciao, Shani. Ciao, Asta. Everything's so good in here, even if in Milan it's raining at the moment. But that's Milan. And I'm ready and I can't wait to start with you this new part, this 2025, the second part of EuroLeague. So, so ready. Let's go, girls.
And your amazing t-shirt. I want to talk about it. The pink. Suits you very, very well, girl. I mean, keep it going. And Giulia, I'll give you the honors to introduce our guest for today. I mean, go ahead.
So, girls, you know him as the player that plays for Virtus Bologna, but you have to know it that probably he plays basketball because of his sister. So, for me, he's not Riccardo Visconti. He's the brother of Alessandra Visconti.
Oh, benvenuto. Ciao, nice to meet you.
Can you tell to all the people why you start playing basketball? Is because of her or maybe because of your father? Because every time you go to something with connected with basketball in Turin, his father, their father is there everywhere, every time.
my father have a great passion for basketball. My mother also. My parents played in Massimo in the second league in Italy. But my sister, is the real basketball player in the family. she played in like 20 years between the first league and second league in Italy. Mm-hmm. She played for the national team. She was also first on the 3-on-3 world ranking. So she's the real basketball player. She's the real shooter of the family.
Wait, so if you guys are playing one-on-one, who is taking?
No, one-on-one, I can win because my body.
You're more physical.
I broke something. That's right.
Now, just because Alessandra decided to stop, that's the real answer.
But like a 3-point contest, I cannot win.
You could. Well, we're tears for your sister. I mean, it looks amazing. I know how it is when basketball runs through your veins. I mean, you can't go anywhere beside that, you know, little compound with the orange ball. But it's really amazing. You know, it's really fun also to have always your family around you, you know, with your career, like escorting you throughout the way. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I'm sure you're like...
It's a beautiful thing also because you have people around you who can understand what you are doing. They can understand your negative moments, your positive moments also. So it's perfect. And also because I saw my career before to do this job, you know, because when my sister started playing basketball, she got 12 years more than me.
Right.
So when she did the first season in first league, I was four. So I saw
that's crazy.
Her career, and
yeah,
it was perfect for me. Yeah.
I know how it is to play against your brother basketball. Okay, guys, as always, we have a lot of topics to discuss. Obviously, we have Nikola Mirotic being, you know, the underdog MVP candidate. Nikola's debut with Monaco. I love seeing that. I don't know about you guys. Also, what's going on with Žalgiris? Asta will take you through that, you know, talk to us a little bit. The shaky situation over there. And also Kendrick Nunn being unstoppable, doing whatever he wants on the court. And unfortunately, we'll also have to discuss upon Matthias Lestort's injury. That was a pretty bad one. And we'll end it up kind of talking about round 20. But before everything, I want to get to know Ricardo, okay? So Ricardo, I've been following you. I mean, I've been seeing you being super active in social media, YouTuber, Instagrammer. I mean, you're doing everything right. I mean, it looks fabulous from what I'm seeing. Talk to me a little bit about it, how it all started for you.
I started from TikTok like 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, because TikTok is the fastest social network for to share. You can put also some funny things, everything. Because in Italy, people doesn't understand that like a player, we have a life also out from the court. Obviously, the most important is inside the court, but also outside the court. After 1 year, sharing more or less every day on TikTok, I decided to open my YouTube channel, but only for like short video, putting the same video. After 1, maybe 2 weeks from this decision, I had been called up for the national team. For the World Cup, the training camp for the World Cup. So I remember at 4 a.m. coming back from the holidays in Sardinia. I was at the airport in Sardinia and I said to myself that the national team is so important for everybody. It's a dream for every guy, every kid, and for myself, first of all. So I tried to share my emotion in the deepest way. So not with a video, 1 minute video, but with a 15 minute video. And my first vlogger on YouTube talking about the national team and the preparation
wow.
from of the training camp at the moment has like 100, more than 100,000 views. So
that's crazy.
That's the point. From bad moments, I try to share my life. So last year, I did a series, 38 episodes, and right now I'm preparing the number 11. So
wow,
almost more or less 50,
I mean, Ricardo,
50
it looks
episodes.
Amazing. I feel like I know what's your next job. I mean, you know, basketball career is not the longest. Seems like you're gonna be doing some good things for, you know, the movie and. Yeah, world. Girls, do you have anything you want to ask Ricardo? I mean, he seems like he's very enthusiastic talking about, you know, his
like,
passion.
You know, we're seeing more and more basketball players stepping outside the court and creating the content, whatever is on YouTube, on social media, or even launching their own podcast. I have one example from NBA. Paul George was criticized for playing fewer games than he received the episodes of his podcast. So do you ever feel like balancing basketball and content creation is challenging or it just comes naturally for you? It looks like it comes naturally now.
No, for me, it's naturally because I think the most difficult things is doing together because of the loses or because sometimes you can play bad. And when you play bad, people can say, oh, go to a content creator. This is, this could happen, but for me, it's natural. I don't need the approbation from anyone. So I love this. I love to share. I love to can say what I want to say. So for me, it's natural.
Let's go and talk about, you know, the topics for today. We have so much to discuss. We're going to start on a kind of like a more of a sad note, you know, with the Matthias Lasorts injury. It was a bad moment for all EuroLeague fans. I mean, everyone was crying, players bawling. I mean, just very, very sad. I was at home actually watching this moment. Where were you guys at when this thing happened?
I think an injury is always a terrible mm-hmm. thing. It could happen to everyone. To Matthias is terrible because he's one of the best players of the league. But I think the beautiful things I saw during the video is that everybody was with him. Everybody, his teammates. Also, the Baskonia guys, and this means that the positive environment of EuroLeague. So we are everybody together. Like I said, an injury is always a terrible thing. I hope the best for him.
Yeah, the sword injury like sent a shockwave across the entire EuroLeague, and I didn't watch that live. And the next morning, my husband, instead of saying like "Hello, Asta," he said, "Asta, please don't watch what happened to Lesorg." You know, I was holding my newborn baby, and I'm quite emotional and sensitive nowadays. And I decided not to watch. But you know, of course, I saw everything just a little bit later. And also, like what I saw, and I was impressed: the images of Lesorg sitting in the empty area and training on a seat, like sitting. You saw that images?
Yes, yes.
So that means he's not just recovering. That means that he's fighting. And, you know, Power has one player from Lithuania. It's Marius Grigonis. He's also injured. And he's a very tough guy. He, like, mentally, he's very, very strong. So I think that they both can push each other, like, push back again and back faster and be stronger. So I wish him the very best luck.
Definitely. Obviously. I mean, Pau is also, yeah, Pau is still having, you know, the whole belief in him. They just signed him for an extension on contract. Like, I mean, you know, they love Matthias Lasorts. He's such a great personality and a great player, like Ricardo said. But let's talk another player of Panathinaikos on a positive note now, Kendrick Nunn. I mean, he's doing everything for Panathinaikos. He's just being unstoppable in the last couple of games. Every time there is Panathinaikos winning MVP, Kendrick Nunn is interviewing with Dora over there. I'm like, oh my God. Again, this guy broke another record, you know? I mean, he's just doing a fantastic job for the team. He's a game maker for Panathinaikos. I mean, Ricardo, what do you think about the way he carries the team?
That is incredible. We played last game against them. I will say, I think, I may think, when you play PlayStation, mm-hmm. you can put like on 2K, you can put like 99 on 3-point shots. And last quarter against us was like this. He scored like 5 threes, difficult threes in a row. So, but you can defense in every way, but you can stop it. It's impossible.
Julia, what do you like? What do you like about the way he plays? The way he, you know, he's dominating
everything. You know, it's impossible to say something that you don't like about Kendrick Nunn. I think it's impossible because, as Ricardo said, he's a player that you cannot stop. But I think mm-hmm. that all the other teams, they, you know, maybe in Italy it's like that. But when you have a strong player on the other side, like an opponent, you have to, you know, you said, I don't want that player to play because it's against my team. But in the case of Kendrick Nunn, I think that everyone wants to see him play in because it's amazing. He creates, he shoots, he do whatever he wants into the court. And I yes, Ricardo, you know it very well. But I really like it. And I think it remembers me just a little bit because they're different. The first Mike James that arrived in the EuroLeague from the US. He was the one that break the rules, that break broke the rules into
Right.
the court in his first period in EuroLeague. And now Kendrick Nunn is obviously a different player, but it reminds me of what Mike James was, someone that can create things, but even breaking the rules, deciding its own destiny for its own team. So I really like him. And I remember that a day when he came to play in Bologna, he was obviously the MVP. And I asked him about what he thought about Bologna. And he said, I like the pasta. So for me, MVP of the whole
I
season.
I love this comment. Yes, it was a beautiful moment, Julia. You took the best out of him, no doubt. And yes, I mean, what else can you say about Kendrick Nunn? I mean, he's creating for himself. He's creating for the team. He's now leading this top scorer of the league, top three-point attempted player in the league. I mean, he's just terrific. And it's really, really fun to watch him play.
Yeah,
but I want to talk to you. Yes,
no, also, yeah, I want to add the numbers because, yeah, he is on fire lately. And in the over the last four games, he's averaging almost 30 points. So that's crazy. Also, I counted myself that in those four games, he scored 23 three-pointers. So that's also insane. That, do you remember when this guy came to Europe, nobody thought of him as an elite shooter? And look at him now, he's unstoppable. And maybe that EuroLeague punishment he received fired him up because since that moment, he was unstoppable. So and I'm happy about that fact that he's investing in their future with Pau, with the new deal. I heard that he's going to get a new extension.
Yes, from a player rejected from the NBA to being, you know, the unstoppable player of EuroLeague. I mean, that's Kendrick Nunn, you guys. But I want to move to another point guard that I love. I mean, Nick Calatès, you know, Monaco, he's done his debut game. I mean, how can you not love Nick Calatès? Ricardo, I mean, I'm sure as a rookie, I mean, you look up to players. Yeah. Is Nick Calatès one of the players you look up to?
Yeah, but he didn't play against us on the first round. So I never see him in the same arena, you know, I think you don't need my words to to be defined as a great player. He's like an idol for my generation. So I cannot say anything more. You know, he's a great player. With Mike James, he's a crazy duo.
Yes, duo.
It's a crazy couple. So. I think they could be dangerous.
Yeah. Definitely. Best passer and scorer like Mike James all time in the EuroLeague. Julia, how are you seeing this, you know, backcourt duo, as Ricardo said, for Monaco?
Wow. I think they're amazing. Together, they can do something very, very cool. And they are doing something very, very cool for Monaco. And plus, they're coached by one of the best playmakers in the whole world, Vasilis Panoulis. So I don't know what's going to happen because they have the best teacher that they can have. It's not just a coach. It's something more. And when you have the best scorer and the best passer, something great can happen. Obviously, it will happen. So I'm really looking forward to see the second round, the second part of EuroLeague, because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sorry for you because I think that you need to, Ricardo, you need to face them again. So,
yeah pretty soon.
I hope to be there, but...
yeah, guys.
To give your support. Yes.
I just remember the fact that I heard from our Lithuanian podcast saying that Monaco doesn't need Nick Calatès. They are good enough without him. And I just, yeah, I don't agree at all. I think that... with Nick returned to the lineup, it's a big deal. And it will be a big deal for Monaco, because with Calathis, they essentially get the extension of the coach on the court. You know, like, I probably think that he is the only player who can understand Spanoulis at such a high level. You know, like, Calathis, his experience, like, he can execute Spanoulis' vision perfectly. So I think this duo, and plus with James, it's one of the most exciting things you can watch in the EuroLeague. Like,
yes.
I think they need Nick.
Yeah, they need Nick. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been the best passer in all-time EuroLeague. Now he's playing with the best scorer all-time EuroLeague. And with a coach with such a high IQ, I mean, also Mike James was pointing out, you know, in one of the interviews that I heard of him, that
He feels like Spanulis brought a different kind of system into the team, especially defensively. I mean, they're looking better, and it's making them perform better also on the offensive side. So, I mean, you have those three, it creates a perfect recipe for Monaco, who is, you know, leading the standings right now, number one in EuroLeague. I mean, it's showing. But I also want to move on and talk about Žalgiris. I mean, if we're talking about the top, the leading team, let's go a little bit down in the standings. Yes, Asta, I know you have a lot to say about that team that was performing very well in the beginning of the season. But as we got along, we saw, you know, them kind of like losing their balance, losing their ability to perform.
Yeah, right. Like this season, Žalgiris is like a casino. Like everything is so unpredictable. Okay, of course, it's thrilling. But yeah, now Žalgiris is in a slump with three pre-games losing streak. And what's the issue? You know, Lonnie Walker arrival has shifted the dynamics. I don't know. Without him, Žalgiris was 6-1. And since his debut, Žalgiris lost 8 of their last 12 games. So maybe the honeymoon is over. Okay. Walker is amazing. Yeah, the fairy tale is over. Exactly. And Walker is an amazing athlete and player. Everybody knows that. But he knows that the expectations are very high. And his second half performance has been underwhelming. But mm-hmm. the same goes with Žalgiris. It's like great starts always and not so great finishes lately. And what's happening in Lithuania, like fans are losing patience. But I don't agree with that because, you know, like, only 3 wins separate the 10th and 1st place in the EuroLeague now. So everything is so close. Everything is so tight. So
it's so dynamic.
Exactly.
Anything can change.
Yeah, get hot, get a winning streak, and everybody's start looks amazing. And just hit a slump like Žalgiris, and everything feels like much more darker. So like streak, this word, I think, the best describe the EuroLeague.
Right. Yeah.
I like the way that you use the Italian words like casino or something like that. Riccardo, I love the way that they use our language to describe things.
Yeah. We are international, also in Italian.
You are international.
No, the Italian language is the most beautiful language, no doubt, hands down, really. It sounds mm-hmm. like you guys are singing all the time, like all the time singing. It's so beautiful, really. I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Guys, Žalgiris, going back to Žalgiris, I mean, they're meeting Real Madrid in the next game. They won against Madrid in the last round. So, you know, again, Lonnie Walker up and down. Asta, how are you seeing this matchup coming
up? Like you said, the last matchup ended with Žalgiris win. It was a surprise win. And thanks for stellar performance from, by the way, Walker. But things change a lot after that. You know, I think, yeah, Real Madrid won every single game after that loss to Žalgiris. And, okay, Žalgiris lost most of the games after that. So this game will be very, very important for both teams, but especially for Žalgiris. And this time, I think Real looks like a favorite. And it's going to be a very difficult Žalgiris. They have problems now, but Žalgiris already proved that they can upset every single team in the EuroLeague, and they can do it now. I really hope they can do that, because if it's going to be like 4th loss, so it's going to be very difficult for Žalgiris.
Right. No, and Real is entering pretty much in a good momentum. Ricardo, do you have any prediction for this game? Žalgiris, Real Madrid, who's going to win?
Me?
Yes, of course, you. Who am I talking to? Ricardo.
No, well, this is tough, eh? This is too much. This is too much for me. I'm a player. Like you said, and, can say, I hope the best from Žalgiris, but I think Real Madrid will win the game.
Okay, we're going back home to Italy a little bit. Nikola Mirotic for Milan. Julia, I want to talk to you because he's really been kind of showing an underdog MVP candidate, you know, doing a lot for his team, being very impactful. How do you see his contribution to Milan that has also been kind of up and down lately.
Yes, but I want to remember what Asta said a few minutes ago. It's just two or three victories to go to the playoff zone for Milan. So we just have to wait, speaking about the team. But if we want to just say something about Nikola Mirotic, I just studied his statistics and in particular his PAR. The lowest point that he got was 16 against Panathinaikos, but Milan just lost by 30 points or something more. So obviously it was something like that. But I think that basketball is not only made about statistics, even if obviously we have to just look at the PAR for Nikola Mirotic in this moment. But I think that he's creating something big for the way that he makes all the other plays. And I don't know if, Riccardo, if you agree with me, because you two, Virtus Bologna and Milano, you two play against each other so many times during the whole season. But I really like the way that he makes all the other plays, because when he scores, when he's got that high PAR, like 24, 25, 26 or something like that, he's the best. But when he's not the best, all the others make their career high in something, in points, in rebounds, in PAR. So he's not a playmaker, but he acts like a playmaker because he makes all the team round. What do you think, Riccardo?
I think that is a really it's a great player for sure, but he got a lot of experience, and I think also that in Italy people doesn't understand how is important for the team, how is an incredible player. Mm-hmm. I think it's very difficult also to prepare again a game against him, because he can do everything. He can shoot the 3 points. He can play post up. He's a great player, and he's very important for Milan. And again, people in Italy doesn't understand how is important for Milan.
Yeah, guys, maybe I can explain why Mirotic sometimes is forgetting. And I think it's unfair, of course. But when I thought about that, maybe it's because his game isn't loud, like, or sexy. He's just doing his job. But there is another reason. He's playing for Milan, and they are quite a boring team. Sorry for that. Like, don't get me wrong. It's not... I just don't want to say that they have bad players or bad coach. This team is great. And I think I can predict that this season Milan will be in Final Four. But what I want to say that when you are thinking about European basketball, like about fans' interest, about the buzz, you cannot compare Milan to Žalgiris, Belgrade clubs, Greek clubs or Istanbul clubs. This is my point of view from that perspective. Why sometimes we're not talking a lot about Milan or Mirotic, but this season team is great. And I believe in them. Really, really.
Well, Milan, just to think, Jenny, Milan is a very footy city. So I know that sometimes looking from television, it's hard to see the crowd getting crazy like you would see in Belgrade or even in Lithuania. It's a different way of cheering up for the team, because every time there's a very important match, all the people comes from the whole city to see the team. So I think that it's a different way to represent the city and to represent the crowd. But if you said that Milan is going to reach Final Four, I can't wait to see all the people from Milan reaching Abu Dhabi or something like that. Or
wow.
Maybe, I don't know, going to Belgrade or going to Kaunas, because, you know, we have something like things to do in Kaunas if you look what happened in the first round of EuroLeague. So yeah. I think that you remember it so
wait.
Well.
I can't wait for that match. Like, really, that game's going to be amazing. Like, what's going to happen?
I know. Yeah. Can't wait. One moment in my life, I'll be in Kaunas cheering up for Milan or maybe Bologna to see what's going to happen in the future.
Well, I see this rivalry kind of like bubbling between you guys, so I'll kind of calm you down. But yes, Milan is also meeting Maccabi Tel Aviv, and the next game I don't know what's going to happen there, but they are matching up against Maccabi in Belgrade, where Maccabi is playing right now. I have personally great memories from Milan in 2014 when Maccabi won the EuroLeague, but it's a long time ago. There's no need to discuss.
11 years.
Wow.
The time goes
so fast. Oh my God, I'm feeling old. All right, guys, that's all we have for today. So many things that we have covered for this episode. And of course, we got to get to know Riccardo Visconti. So Riccardo, first of all, thank you so much. Grazie mille, like we say in Italy. You've been great. We can't wait to see what you will do in the EuroLeague, and we'll keep following your YouTube channel and everything you do on social media. You're really doing a fantastic job. And guys, obviously, don't forget to watch the rivalry series game of this week, round 20, Žalgiris-Kaunas against Real Madrid. That's going to be an exciting one. Watch this one and all eight others on EuroLeague TV. And of course, I have to say, don't forget to like our YouTube channel and subscribe. And also Ricardo's YouTube channel, which is called
Riccardo Visconti, like my name.
Okay, like your name. Yeah. So don't forget to also follow Riccardo on YouTube and all of his social platforms. It's been great. I mean, I enjoyed having you girls with me, like always. You've done a fabulous job. And grazie, grazie. Thank you so much. And have a great day. And see you next time.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye. Ciao.
Ciao.
Ciao.